From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge. The word refuge may be translated mansion or abiding place, which gives the thought that God is our abode, our home. There is a fullness and sweetness in the metaphor. For dear to our hearts is our home, although it be the humblest cottage or the scantiest garret. And dearer far is our blessed God, in whom we live and move and have our being. It is at home that we feel safe. We shut the world out and dwell in quiet security. So when we are with our God, we fear no evil. He is our shelter and retreat, our abiding refuge. At home we take our rest. It is there we find repose after the fatigue and toil of the day. And so our hearts find rest in God. When wearied with life's conflict, we turn to Him, and our soul dwells at ease. At home also, we let our hearts loose. We are not afraid of being misunderstood, nor of our words being misconstrued. So when we are with God, we can commune freely with Him, laying open all our hidden desires. For if the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, the secrets of them that fear Him ought to be and must be with their Lord. Home, too, is the place of our truest and purest happiness, and it is in God that our hearts find their deepest delight. We have joy in Him which far surpasses all other joy. It is also for home that we work and labor. The thought of it gives strength to bear the daily burden, and quickens the fingers to perform the task. And in this sense we may also say that God is our home. Love to Him strengthens us. We think of Him in the person of His dear Son, and a glimpse of the suffering face of the Redeemer constrains us to labor in His cause. We feel that we must work, for we have brethren yet to be saved, and we have our Father's heart to make glad by bringing home His wandering sons. We would fill with holy mirth the sacred family among whom we dwell. Happy are those who have thus the God of Jacob for their refuge.
Oh,
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As he continues to deal with each of the Ten Commandments in this series on the Law of God, Dr. Cairns begins an exposition of the Fifth Commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother. Although this commandment is usually perceived as addressing the relationship between parents and children, Dr. Cairns will show that it teaches a much wider application. We'll see that it extends to the whole concept of authority. According to the biblical teaching, the church and the state have been established to further the role of the family. Scripture requires all men to honor and obey those in authority over them, whether they be fathers and mothers, kings and queens, or elders in the church. Now to introduce this message on the Fifth Commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His own precious word for His name's sake. Tonight, in our continuing study of God's law, we have had 12 studies in preparation for the Ten Commandments, and we have been going through these Ten Commandments, and we come tonight to the Fifth Commandment, given to us in Exodus chapter 20, and in verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Repeated for us in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. At first sight, the fifth commandment is simply a commandment that speaks of how children should treat their parents. Very obviously, it deals with that subject. And yet the great catechisms of the Protestant churches historically have seen in this commandment something very, very much more. They have treated it in a much wider fashion. Maybe I should have had Barbie recite for us what the fifth commandment teaches. But according to the Shorter Catechism, the fifth commandment requires the preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. In other words, they deal not only with how children should treat their parents, but how parents should treat each other, how parents should treat their children, how church members should relate to church authority, how citizens should relate to the state. All that they see as being expressed in the wording of the fifth commandment. Now, to many it may seem to be a great stretch of the fifth commandment, far beyond its original and natural simplicity to interpret it in this way. And I must confess, as I have looked at this commandment over the years, I have often felt that when the children of Israel received it, they would have understood it purely and simply to refer to their domestic arrangements. However, when you look at the Bible a little more closely, you'll find this is one of those cases where first impressions are certainly not the best impressions or the truest impressions. Because when you look a little more carefully here, the Lord makes it very plain, very, very quickly, that He intended the children of Israel to apply the fifth commandment much more widely than merely the treatment of parents by children. Clearly, the Lord went on to set up the organization of church and state. While I'm going to make this statement, I am not going to elaborate upon it, for it is a big area of discussion. But in the Bible, both church and state as organizations were originally set up as extensions of the domestic arrangements which God had set up in the home. In other words, the Lord never originally built in the friction and the antagonism that so often people import to the relations between the family and the church, or the family and the church and the state. These were natural extensions of the domestic arrangement. And thus, in the Scripture, the Lord uses the term father and the term mother to denote much more than mere biological parenthood. Then again, consider that in the book of Leviticus, when the Lord expounded the moral law, He extended this duty of giving honor beyond our parents to many others. Now, let me note some scriptures with you. Let me first of all note some scriptures that will show how the Lord uses the terms father and mother. In Isaiah 49:23, he uses them of rulers when he says, "Kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and queens thy nursing mothers." He uses the term father of prophets. We find, for example, that Elisha cried to Elijah in 2 Kings 2 verse 12, "My father, my father." King Joram spoke of Elisha as my father. The Apostle Paul claimed that as a relationship, not a priestly title. When the Lord Jesus says, "Call no man father," he is speaking of father and master in a priestly kind of relationship. But speaking of himself as the soul winner, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, "Though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." He was their spiritual father. The Apostle John looked on his converts as his children. And he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So the soul winner in Scripture is referred to as a father. We find that the female judge Deborah was referred to as a mother. "I, Deborah," we read in Judges 5 verse 7, "I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel." And it's not saying I was a mother and I was made a judge. That's the truth of it goes beyond that. But as a judge, she arose a mother to the nation. So that the terms father and mother are employed in Scripture much more widely than merely of natural parents. Then think of how the Scripture tells us we are to pay honor. We are to honor our biological parents. But also in Leviticus 9:32 we read, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man." Now here's a lesson in good manners. It's been largely lost nowadays in this slob society in which we live. But literally what the Scripture says is, stand up before gray hairs. Young people, stand up. Pay honor in the presence of those who are your elders. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." The elder women as mothers. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Later in chapter 5, verse 17, he says that the elders that rule well must be counted worthy of double honor. So the honor is to be paid to them in ruling the church. And of course, we have the statement or the command in 1 Peter 2:17. Honor the king. Now from all these it will be very clear that the terms father and mother and the duty of honoring father and mother apply much more widely than simply to our parents. So our first impressions of the fifth commandment are not really all that accurate. The Shorter Catechism has it right, that the fifth commandment in reality regulates our attitude and our behavior towards all authority, all legitimate authority. Now that includes the authority of the state. The Lord commands us to respect and to obey our rulers and the laws that they enact insofar as they do not conflict with the laws of God. Romans 13 verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," or the governing powers. "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So this honor must be extended to include the state and its authority. The fifth commandment also includes the authority of the church. I realize that nowadays churches are conveniences for most people. I realize that in most cases church authority doesn't exist. If there's one thing that's missing in the preaching and in the discipline of the Church of Christ, it is authority. Many people will not accept the right of elders to rule in a church or to get before God and show the congregation the result of their deliberations and say, this is what God has burdened us from His word and prayer to do. They simply kick over the traces, either ignore the ruling or say we'll go someplace else. But the fifth commandment in ordering honor includes the legitimate use of authority by the Church of Christ. In Galatians 4:26 we read that Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. The greatest commentator, I think, on the book of Galatians is probably John Brown. And Brown says the Jerusalem that is above is the true spiritual church. What we may call the gospel church, proclaiming the covenant of grace. Paul says that's our mother. And we must honor the church of Christ as we would honor our mother. Strong language. But that's the language of God's Word. Her authority is not to be despised. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. Simple word. But my, what rebellion it stirs up in the hearts of so many Christians. Now, without giving away all that I'm going to be saying, I will be majoring tonight. And if I don't get far enough, next week as well. I will be majoring on the family unit and children and parents. But can I say that parents will never successfully inculcate into their children a true sense of biblical honor for them and their authority if those same parents utterly despise the authority and the position of the church of Jesus Christ and its rulership? It's a contradiction in terms. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. The fifth commandment then includes the authority of state, the authority of the church. But even that is not the whole story. I hadn't really found anybody paying much attention to this until on a totally different matter. Just before I came to church tonight, I checked up what the late Martin Lloyd-Jones had to say, as I say, on a different matter, and I found in a passing reference that he was looking at this exactly the same way as I was, and I said, well, thank the Lord, I'm not completely out on a limb here. I think the fifth commandment, while we normally take it to be the first commandment of the second table of the law, regulating our dealings with men and with authority on earth, nonetheless teaches us how we must react to God's authority. Because you see, the term Father is the great term that's given to the Lord. Deuteronomy 14 verse 1, you are the children of the Lord your God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.